Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ here with you. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours. A bunch of stuff to talk about, including the NFL canceling the Bills-Bengals game. And even more important, DeMar Hamlin waking up and talking to the doc. One of the first things he said, did we win the game? Did we win the game? And the doc said, you won it life, son. You won it life. And he did. And so now we've got DeMar Hamlin better. Does this change? I mean, I this drastically changes things for the Bills. Although I would imagine there's still is a lot of zombie-like feeling about football this week for the Bills after watching that. Even though they know that DeMar Hamlin is better, I would imagine it's still not easy to get out there, get as focused as you are, get as intense as you have been, as intense as you need to be to play in the NFL. That game is obviously a disappointment for both teams that they weren't able to win, and now the Chiefs are in, you know, are in the driver's seat. Although they're talking about having a neutral site AFC Championship game, which we talked about here yesterday a little bit. But I would still imagine that it's going to be tough for the Bills to get up.
Probably. I think I agree with everything you said. It's in one sense there's relief,
yeah,
you know, but in another sense the relief comes so late in the week that what's been going on mentally, like you get mentally fatigued, stuff like this. Anyone who's ever gone through anything traumatic, and it didn't have to be traumatic. It could be extreme anxiety, which is going to be something that all these players are experiencing. It's, you can't focus on the task at hand. You can't get ready. You're practicing like you're practicing, but there's a good chance that guys, you know, were maybe a little bit distracted. I just think that, and they didn't get back to the practice field. I don't think they practiced until just yesterday.
Yeah.
It was the first time they practiced. So,
and it'll be interesting to see whether or not. Now, I'm sure the coaches were working. You know, coaches. Sean McDermott had
coaches,
made sure they were playing game planning and doing all their stuff.
The schedule is going to be the same.
It'll be interesting to see how, if they do play well, you know, the lack of practice time. I'm convinced that they so overdo it. Now, you do have to get ready for football games, but they so overdo it in the off season. During the week, you got to put game plans in and whatnot. But you're so, this is week 18. You know what you're doing. You know what you do.
Yeah.
You know, now defensively, you have to get ready. Of course, you do have to get ready for Mac Jones. It's not like you have to get ready for Aaron Rodgers this week.
Mac Jones led by Matt Patricia's play call.
Right. Exactly. So, but it'll be interesting to see how they compete. I don't know how to handicap this one.
I don't either. I don't know what to expect from the Bills. I mean, they could be, first of all, they could be flat just because of the situation. You know, and then again, they could, maybe there's a huge weight lifted off their shoulders and they play, you know, and it's, I don't know. It is hard to handicap because I could also see the other side where you say, well, I mean, it's not a heavy feeling anymore. They know their friend is going to be okay, and they're going to, you know, they're going to move forward, and this weight has been removed, and maybe they can play with the, you know, a freeness that they didn't even feel before, where they just feel, man, they're so much more appreciative of everything. And so I don't know. From a football standpoint, I don't know. I don't know how this one works. I think it's, you know, there is a lot of. I talked to Evan Silva yesterday, and this is going to sound, you know, callous, but it's just something that happened in the football and sports world that I hadn't even thought about. I hadn't even thought about until yesterday because my son Mason made a comment. I was taking Mason and his friends to the Rocket game, and it's for a Christmas present.
That was enjoyable.
Yeah, it was a Christmas present, and I do love him. I know some people said, what did he do? Like, is this the lump of coal? No.
No.
It was something he wanted.
Oh, he wanted to go to the Rockets
game? Yeah, he wanted to go to a Rockets game.
Well, that's
so different. I said, hey, who won the – you were complaining on last Sunday about fantasy football, about you were going to lose – you and Sebastian both – Sebastian left like 79 points on his bench because of two players he didn't play. And he was playing Mason in the playoffs. And then I said, whoa. But then Mason was having this bad week. I said, hey, how did that end up playing out? Who won? He goes, Sebastian won. I said, he beat you with those guys? He goes, yeah, but I mean, what? That's not... I didn't really lose. I said, yes, you did.
Well,
he goes, I had Joe Burrow and T. Higgins. And I said, oh.
You know how a league, a buddy of mine I was playing golf with yesterday, he said, you know how we're handling that is we're using week 18, which it would have been over, but they're going to use week 18 stats for their championship league.
I think you have to. And I talked to Evan Silva, who's been a longtime fantasy football guy. He's with Establish Run now. We've had him on the show. And I even thought about it. I called and said, hey, what? How did fantasy football – now, our league ended the week before.
2 weeks before.
No. Our week ended not last week, but the week before that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, is when that ended. And I was – and obviously this is, you know, nothing to do with – but it is kind of a major deal for fantasy football if your championship ended with Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd.
Chances are you got them if you're in the championship. Some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Evan Silva just said a lot of people were just, you know, you're just out of luck. But I would think that the easy solution there is just use your 18 stats.
Week 18. You got to. And here's the problem, though, is how hard are you going to play in week 18? Do you have to play?
That's
why you never go. These never go in the last week of the season is because you never know who's going to play.
I guess some teams could just split the championship money. You could just say, you know, it might be an unfair advantage for one guy. You know, maybe you have a league where they
agree to.
Whose name's
on the plaque? Whose name's on the trophy?
Yeah,
that's the key. That's the key. So breaking down handicap, and it's going to be difficult to handicap the Bills. And since we're the station for the, we're all your Texans news right here.
Uh-huh.
Let's now drive this to the Texans side of things. How do you handicap this one for your Houston Texans against the Indianapolis Colts? This is a barn burner.
Well, I saw Ryan Poles, the GM of the Colts, the GM of the Bears, his name was trending 2 days ago. And I said, oh, boy.
Justin Fields.
Why is Poles trending? This can't be good. So I clicked it. And, yeah, it was because, thank God, Dr. Poles stepped in and said that Justin Fields had a hip injury. Now, the Bears say, look, an MRI shows he has a hip injury. This is not anything. Right. I mean, you know, you could get fined heavily in the NFL for this.
Or you could just sit him. It's your prerogative.
It is. Yeah. You can't fake an injury.
No, right. You can't fake an injury, but you could just say,
but even if you sit him.
We don't want him playing.
That doesn't look, if he's been injured. Yeah. And that's what you could do. Yeah. But still, people were making a comment like Ryan's gunning for that number one spot. And if you're the Texans, I just think you have to just keep, you know, you just keep. You keep pounding away.
Keep doing what you've been doing. Yeah, do what you
don't do. Change anything. Try to win. Play Davis Mills.
Are you with Lovie on this? Does it matter?
Does what matter?
Does it matter that you don't get the number one pick?
In this draft, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Because if it's not going to be Bryce Young, if it is Bryce Young, I don't think anybody's going to clamor up there. I got to get me some Bryce Young. And I have to give up whatever it is. It's not like Trevor Lawrence versus Zach Wilson. It's not anything like that. So I think that it really doesn't matter. And if the Bears take Will Anderson, which they're not taking Bryce Young, The Bears ain't taking Bryce Young. And if they're taking Will Anderson, then if you don't like Bryce Young, you can either trade out of that or you can take Jalen Carter, which may be the better choice, or your boy from Texas Tech.
Tyree Wilson, yeah. No, I don't think anyone's going to take Tyree but I'm just telling you, I mean, he's freaky now. 35-inch arms and
well, you
270
You get the other guy then. If it's not going to be Bryce Young, yeah, you get the other one.
I'm not sure it really does matter in this one, other than unless you say we absolutely have to have quarterback and we want him to be 195 pounds.
Right. I mean, this is what we do. We have to have a 5'11", 195 pounder.
I just can't tell you how many. I'm already starting to chat with some NFL teams, and like everyone's saying the same thing. But even if they don't need quarterback, I ask them about Bryce Young, and none of them are blown away by the tape. I haven't not looked at the tape specifically. I did look at some accuracy numbers because Jeremy Branham is a big Will Levis guy. He always walks by my office, goes Will Levis, and we were talking about it a little bit yesterday, and so I pulled up numbers.
How can you be a Will Levis guy, honestly? The number
after
one
this year,
pick?
I don't know. It's just off of.
I mean, now Will Levis may turn out to be a really, really, really good quarterback because he's got all the physical traits. That's the guy you want. That's the guy you want to. That's how you want your quarterback to look. It's just how he plays. That's not how you want.
I looked at some accuracy numbers. Pro Football Focus has something that they do, and it's subjective, but it's like they have an accuracy percentage. The ball location has to be accurate to the frame and away from coverage. So, in other words, you know, just putting it on a guy, right? Mm-hmm. Just putting it right here in his frame where he can catch it and away from coverage. So, I looked at that. Let me give you a couple numbers here, John. From 1 to 9 yards.
This is Bryce Young.
This is all the – I got all the fellas here. Okay. I got Hendon Hooker, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. 1 to 9 yards. The accuracy percentage, that's a short one. The best of the group is C.J. Stroud, 75%. So he's throwing it from 1 to 9 yards. Now, some of those can be like 2-yard routes or whatever.
Oh, right.
But in the frame, away from coverage.
Are bubble screens out of this?
Easy catches. Yeah, it's behind the line of scrimmage. C.J. Stroud, 75% by a long shot. Then comes Hendon Hooker, 66. Then comes Will Levis, 55. Then Bryce Young, 49.
49% from 1 to 9 yards?
Yeah. Then Anthony Rich. Now, 49, it's not accuracy. It's accuracy in the frame.
Yeah, ball,
right. Like really good, you know, proper ball placement.
Right.
And then Anthony Richardson, 46%. Now, Bryce Young gets a lot better in the intermediate throw. From 10 to 19 yards, the best in that one is going to be C.J. Stroud at 58%, followed by Bryce Young at 54.9%. Then Hendon Hooker at 54.8, then Anthony Richardson at 43.3, and then Will Levis at 41.4. We call those throws the 10 to 19s, the intermediates. Those are pro throws. You got to be able to throw with ball placement. You got to be able to throw with some anticipation against zone. You have to be able to throw with some accuracy. You have to have some velocity, timing.
You might already be getting some pressure on you.
Yeah, it takes into account. Exactly. Yep, right. It takes into account everything. This is my best indication of who you are as a quarterback, I feel like. And then, so you already see Anthony Richardson and Will Levis, as you would expect, are pulling up the rear. And then when you go 20-plus, Will Levis is 24%. Followed by Anthony Richardson, 32%. Bryce Young, 38.8%.
Well, then not it goes, followed by, but
yeah, I'm
preceded
going up,
by.
I'm going upwards now, yeah. Then you've got Hendon Hooker at 52.3, and then C.J. Stroud, 59. In all the accuracy numbers, C.J. Stroud was really good. Now, he's throwing to really good receivers.
Yeah, right.
Hendon Hooker is throwing to good receivers. Will Levis has actually a good receiver on a guy that I really like that he threw to, but there was a lot of sideways passes.
Yep.
I said it before, because Jeremy brought up, well, what about his completion percentage? He completed 65%. I said, Jeremy, 24% of his passes were behind the line of scrimmage. Like, that is going to really – so when people start citing stats, you really have to get into it and find out, well, what kind of passes are they making? So I'm going to start to really watch these throws. But I'm telling you now, Stroud, his accuracy numbers look like they're much – you know, they're much better than I expected. I wouldn't expect them to be bad. Bryce's were a little lower than I expected. Stroud was higher than I expected. Hendon was right where I expected. But Levis and Richardson, as expected, the guys who are scattershot that you watch on television, that's who they are.
That's who they are.
On all three levels.
714 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you. Just getting it started. Bottom of the hour, Greg Cosell will be joining us, brought to you by Nick's Place right here on the show. Right now, though, I'm talking about the Morley Law Firm. And as I mentioned this a couple of days ago. We've needed them a little bit here. And, I mean, they're so good. They're just so good. They're just so knowledgeable in everything. They're so attentive. It's all of this thing. And you get the free consultation that you're going to get from them to hear what your issue is. They're going to listen. They're going to give it all the consideration that they can. They're going to take you on, or listen, they're going to tell you, I'm sorry, that's a frivolous suit. I'm sorry that whatever the case may be. But they do everything. So there's a good chance, no matter what issue it is. I mean, there are all kinds of issues out there that you could have civilly or criminally. The Morley Law Firm has experience in, it seems like, every single category. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're getting a divorce, if you are getting, if you have issues with an accident, if you have issues with an insurance company, with a doctor, if you're being sued, if you're being criminally charged, no matter what it is, they have got it for you. DWIs, assault, auto accidents, no matter what it is, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Make the call, Morley Law. I don't care what it is that you have. Say habla español. If you have any issue whatsoever with the language, they can help you as well. 713-839-9955, 713-839-9955, or morleylaw.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I'm watching Sebastian Stuttner, a German pro surfer, rode a wave of 115 feet tall. And he's out in front of this thing. Holy crap. Could you do that, do you think?
Not for more than 15 seconds.
You think you could go 15 seconds or so? That's it?
Yeah, I mean, I got at least 10, but...
This has 20 million views. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
If I did it, it would only have like 8 million.
8 million or so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm
sure, realistic.
I'm sure you'd go 20, 25 seconds with it.
Yeah, I'm realistic.
Yeah.
Kind of like my son, Mason. Rockets, you're going to have to get better. Because as we're leaving the Rockets game and walking, all I can hear Mason tell his friends, they're arguing because Mason says he could cook Boban. and I said, what? He goes, I'm telling you, I could cook Boban. I could definitely get, like, Boban could not guard me. If we played one-on-one, Boban, as soon as he misses, I could cook Boban. He's not going to be fast enough. I could get by him and shoot. I could shoot threes. I could get by him. I would cook Boban. I said, Mason, you would not get a single point against Boban.
Boban's arms would just be...
And even if you get by him, he only has to take a couple of long steps, and he can reach and block your shot. He's got enormous hands, enormous reach.
Mason.
You're not going to cook Boban. And I asked him, because I know that kids are totally unrealistic, and I said, as I told you, I could ride a 115-foot wave for 15
right,
seconds.
Right.
I told Mason, I set him up. I said, Mason, if you were to play Deshaun Nix one-on-one, I said,
oh my God.
Would you beat him? He goes, no, I get beat. I said, would you score? He goes, oh yeah, absolutely. I said, no, you wouldn't. You would not score on Deshaun Nix.
Mm-mm.
You would not score on an NBA player. He's not even NBA, he's G League. I said, he is NBA. This counts. You just went to an NBA game. I paid NBA ticket prices. Yeah. He's an NBA player.
Well, he's on the Rockets, okay, has been the worst team in the league.
Is he getting an NBA check?
He's the bottom of the bench.
Is he getting an NBA check?
I mean, you are one trip, one hitting of a curb away
from never playing again. He doesn't look like an NBA player.
No, he doesn't. No, he's
when you look
chunky.
At him, you think, this doesn't look like what NBA players look like. And then you say, how many wins does this team have? If you never watched anything, you say, how many teams wins does this team have who have this guy?
Okay, you were there last night. Let me ask you if you agree with Bill. John Granato, please don't come on the radio tomorrow and say the Rockets ownership and front office wants to win. If they truly did, they would not tolerate this horrible brand of basketball, which is the worst that has ever been played by this franchise. Hashtag disgusted. They've lost 11 of their last 12 after winning 4 out of 6, and you were like, hey, there's a little life. No. And then all of a sudden, they're back to this and just looking like total incompetence. I am shocked. I'm really shocked.
I can't believe.
I'm shocked that nothing is happening.
Yeah, I am too, because it's not just the losses. It's the way they're losing, like embarrassing losses. You got off to a horrible start again yesterday, but then you slowly played your way back into it, and you took a lead, 86-85. Like, holy crap. And Jayshon Tate made a difference out there. Like, Jayshon Tate is a guy who does some dirty work stuff and is a smart basketball player. And Jayshon, you know, he's not a star, but you need some Jayshon Tates on a roster. Can't have just everyone, Jalen and KPJ and Shingun and this. You got to have some Jayshon Tates.
Well, don't you think the Kenyon is is the Jayshon Tate kind of? I mean, he's
I think he's better than that.
Yeah, well, right, but I mean, he does that dirty work. He does that. He gets I mean, he's a
yeah, he can. I consider him a future
an energy guy.
I think he could be a core player, a core four.
Really?
Well, or a core five player. Yeah, I think Kenyon Martin Jr. has a lot of talent. It's just frustrating because
they don't. They obviously. Obviously, they don't think so.
Well, I think
whatever they think, the negative thoughts that they think about Alperen Şengün, they need to stop because can play.
Here's their problem, and it's real. I think he's got to become more mature, but you know, and that maybe that means off the court as well. But then defensively, he is a bad defender, and it's really annoying when you talk about how bad the defense is. He's part of it, but man, is he good offensively. I mean. He is, to me, the ball has to start going in through him more.
Well, I've been hearing, we'll look at his plus minus. Well, look at his plus minus. His plus minus has been much better.
The plus minus improved. Is because of the, you know, they'll point to that because I know they don't like his defense. And that's true. However, man, when you feed him in the post, are you watching it's never been more obvious that a player's worked with Hakeem Olajuwon in the offseason than his baseline spin is just wicked. Yeah. It's so good. All he needs right now is to learn a jump hook because he can edge to edge his way in looking for a shot. He can up fake you, but he needs to learn a jump hook. That's the next iteration of his game, is being able to step into the paint and get a jump hook off with the right hand and left hand. When he does that, I mean, I'm telling you, he's an old school scorer where you can feed him in the post and get efficient buckets. You really can. And I think the Rockets need to start doing that more. Alperen Şengün is a daily 2012 player if they just play him and let him keep growing. But I do know there's some accountability stuff you want from him defensively too, just like everybody else. But watching a game, John, what was so disheartening is every time the Rockets would close, all of a sudden it's a 7-0, a 10-0 run, and you're right back to 10-11. You get a 4-11. You took a one-point lead. They go on a 10-0 run. It's just like, golly, guys, can you not sustain – like, you don't – You can't get any stops to grind this out and win in a fourth. Now, their winning lineup that they try to put out there for the fourth quarter was Jayshon Tate, Kenyon Martin Jr., KPJ, Jalen Green, and Şengün. Those were their five, which I thought was interesting. It was not Jabari at one point, but I just, you know, the crowd still gets into it. They still do a really good job. The in-game personnel does a really good job of getting the crowd hyped up. And I think you have a lot of people there just who want to be, you know, who – it's different. The crowd's so different now than when it was with when James Harden was here. Like, it's a more a want-to-be-seen type of crowd, if that makes sense, I shouldn't say that in general. There's a lot of people who don't. I notice the ones who do. But I think people are just there – and they're diehard Rocket fans, but they're fan fans. They're not get mad at the team fans, I don't think. They're there because they believe, hey, Jalen's a beast. Look at Jalen.
Well,
look
it's the star power of the end. Yeah, I just want to go and be there. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I think some of them are just like, they still are just buying into, like the whole, I don't know, the whole atmosphere outside of the Toyota Center with everything's about the, you know, throwing up the H, and you've got the all of the cool murals all over the place. And it's like, well, you've branded the Travis Scott Rockets. You know, yeah. It feels very Travis Scotty, the whole thing. But you're not like a real team. Like, you know, yeah. You don't play good basketball. I'm glad that you got that you've put the sequins on everything. I'm glad that you've got the type of, you know, shine that you want. But the product is bad. And it's like they're trying to get the most dressed. Everything's dressed up, but the team is bad.
Well, that's, I don't know if they can do anything.
No, you can't. I'm not really blaming them, but I'm like, this is so weird. They've got this, you know, it's like dressing up a pig or whatever they say.
Nope.
It's like,
putting pearls on a pig.
Yeah, this is really bad, but they've done all this stuff to try to, ooh, look how cool it is. People throwing
up
H's.
Well, that's what they can do, though. I mean, that's
exactly.
what they can
exactly. That's
I mean,
what they yeah. can market, and they can do everything they can. But for somebody like me, who I've seen really good Rockets basketball, I don't give up about any of that stuff. I'm trying to see if you can play some basketball and win. And I think people like me, who the ones who really, I think there's basketball fans there, to be sure, and people who know basketball. And I know there's a lot of Rocket fans and young Rock fans, smart ones, who I've seen on Twitter and all that stuff. But I just think right now there's just like a, well, this is just the this part of the rebuilding process.
Well, right.
This is there's it's like there's no urgency for anybody.
Well, yeah, listen, the Astros lasted three. I mean, I think he's taking, you know, hey, this is how the Astros did it. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to have to live through it and blah, blah, blah. And he's not made any rash decisions, you know, with coaching and everything. But it's time now. It's been enough losing now. You know what? Now is the time where you need to see some steps.
Well, I thought we saw, I mean, when they had won the 4-6 and they had beaten those teams, I mean, I thought for sure these are, we said it.
And then,
I mean, these are steps. And then you do this, it makes you think, there's no steps.
No, there's no steps. All right, we got to take a break. And you know what? I'm just shocked. I am shocked. I can't believe that nothing is happening with Stephen Silas. I just can't. We got a break, though, because Greg Cosell is joining us on the other side. Brought to you by Nick's Place. Right now, though, hey, you want to bet? Listen, if you bet against the Rockets right now, you're winning. And you can do that at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. It is a great time to get in on the action. If you your initial deposit is $50 or more, up to $2,000, you get a 10% cash bonus instantly with MyBookie. Using this bonus is simple. Bet your deposit amount just once, and you're ready to cash out. That is not the case with other bonuses that they've had. This one is all you have to do is bet it once, and you can cash out right away. That's a 10%. That's free money for you. It's no strings attached with MyBookie. You can bet on the NFL, NBA, UFC. They've got a big blackjack tournament going on every week. So many brands to choose from. You need a platform that makes it simple, and it is. It's a great platform. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. The new 10% cash bonus on first-time deposits, up to $2,000. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You're listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you. You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. NFL analyst and senior producer at NFL Films, Greg Cosell, joins us once again as he does all football season here. And for those of you that haven't heard, Damar Hamlin is awake. And he is conversing, and so it is great, great news that Damar Hamlin looks to be on the road to recovery, which is just awesome, just awesome. Greg Cosell joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg is I know how it hit me. Of course, you know, older, watched football all my life, but you are an NFL lifer. How did that hit you on Monday night?
I mean, John, I don't know, you know, there's really not much to say here, because how would it hit you? It would hit you as just an absolute horrible, horrible thing. I mean, there's no other way to talk about it. I mean, all week I was just waiting, you know, to hear good news, as we all were, you know, and you were just hoping and hoping and hoping, and it seemed like the news yesterday was pretty good, and I'm sure he still has a long way to go. Obviously, we're not doctors, but, you know, you just hope the guy can get on with life. That's really kind of the important thing. When they said that there wouldn't be neurological damage, you know, that's what the doctor said. You know, we're not making this up. You know, I was so, so happy to hear that. You know, the kid's 24 years old. You know, you don't want that to happen to anybody, but the kid's 24 years old. You know, you'd like him to have a life.
Yeah, and, you know, it's got to be said, Field Yates put a spotlight on this, one of the assistant trainers from the Buffalo Bills staff, who was instrumental. His actions were instrumental in helping to keep DeMar Hamlin alive, first of all.
Yep.
And I think the fact that they were able, you know, I do want to point out that John mentioned this too. If this is going to happen, you know, a sporting event is where you would want it to happen, because there's so many personnel in the building for this. But the fact that they were there, they were on, they did their job, and they did it so effectively, it cannot be understated, the importance of that, and why you always have to have everything on the ready in those, you know, in those situations, in every football stadium, college, pro, and, you know, you want it to be, and it's supposed to be there in high school as well.
Yeah, and I think that'll probably come about because of this. You hate for this to be the reason, but, you know, I think that that's kind of built into the process now.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg, the Chiefs take over the top spot. They haven't really looked all that good over this last month, have they?
No, I would say overall, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, Mahomes always puts up numbers, and I think the nature of that pass game is that they will put up numbers, and he's a great quarterback. But, you know, I think that he's not played great football. Again, those are two different things. You know, people listening might think, oh, you're a Mahomes hater. You know, all we do is we watch the tape. And I don't think Mahomes has played great football over the last month or so, but he's obviously very, very good, so he can still put up numbers, and I'm sure the fantasy people love him. You know, it's interesting how they've evolved over the course of the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. They've played a lot more with tight ends, multiple tight end sets, 2 tight ends, 3 tight ends. They're among the highest percentage team in the league, which may surprise people, playing out of 12 personnel, 1 back and 2 tight ends. And look what they've done with Jerick McKinnon over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. You know, it's almost as if in this offense for Andy Reid, he's, you know, Brian Westbrook light. You know, and Andy's always liked those kinds of players.
Do you think, you know, I know you're not, I'm not saying, like, based on the tape, I've kind of felt the same way, and I haven't watched the tape on these guys, but I've watched a lot of the games on television. And to me, Josh Allen and I just personally feel like Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts felt like they have more of an MVP season in terms of the way they played than Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, I kind of feel like if it wasn't for Jalen's injury, I find it weird that handicappers had, you know, had Pat Mahomes as the favorite. It doesn't feel like that when I watch the games.
You know, it's interesting because there's so many variables as when you look at quarterbacks. You know, we all look at, you know, because Lance, you and I do so much draft work, so we end up looking at traits. And I don't want to say that's the easy part, but, you know, you can usually see traits. Then you get into the NFL where the playing field is a lot more level, and then you get into coaching, and then you get into the nature of the team. You know, I think Josh Allen, for instance, and I don't think anybody would argue that he's not a really good player, but, you know, he's on a team that has probably an average to below average offensive line, a team that really, for the most part, does not have consistent volume or production from their run game, a team, for the most part, that does not have a truly second receiver after Stephon Diggs. So Josh Allen has to be the true driving force of that offense because they don't have a lot of other things and they score a lot of points. So while he's going to make a, you know, throw a bad interception here and there, or he's going to make a play that you go, oh my God, what are you doing? You know, that's his style of playing quarterback. You know, that's why to me, and Lance, I would love your thoughts on this. John, jump in too as well, but that's why it's so hard to compare quarterbacks. Like to me, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow play the game totally differently, and you know, and you can both be great playing the game, you know, the way they play it, but they're totally different players.
Well, just
yeah,
like
yeah,
but like you have okay,
but in that, but what you just said there, Joe didn't have an offensive line last year; it was awful, and yet, but he's got weapons. And
right,
I was going to ask you about, as a matter of fact, I was going to ask you that very question. Yet without that offensive line, look at the difference that Joe and Jamar. And all of those receivers yep. make.
And I think to be, and I think that Joe Burrow, quite honestly, and I don't know what's in his head. None of us know that. We don't chat with him on a weekly basis. But I think he had to learn how to camouflage and compensate for less than stellar pass protection at the NFL level. Because obviously when he played at LSU in that unbelievable season when they won the national championship, you know, he had a lot of clean pockets. And then when he gets to the NFL and all of a sudden he doesn't have clean pockets and he's obviously a super smart guy and incredibly instinctive and just that's in his DNA. But I think he had to figure that out. He had to figure out how to play behind an offensive line where he was not going to be consistently secure in the pocket. And I think he's figured it out. So, you know, you start getting more and more variables as you get into the NFL and playing at the highest level of football, you know. But you know, the larger point is that, you know, someone like Joe Burrow, the way in which he plays, because he's a precision player. You know, this is not a direct comparison, Allen Burrow, but and it just popped into my head. It would be like trying to compare Brett Favre and Drew Brees. You know, they're both Hall of Famers, you know, but they don't play the game anything alike, you know, and you can both be great, though.
No, it's like, you know, if you want to look at, it's like Randy Johnson and Greg Maddux, right?
There you go.
Pitchers. I mean, you couldn't have, both can be successful, but it's.
Oh, I long for the days, Lance, of the Greg Maddux 72 pitch complete games. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, but that's really what it is. It's one guy is the physical quarterback and one guy's the cerebral, and it still is that way in the NFL. It's not that you don't have talent. It's not that you don't have traits from each, but there's still a cerebral and there's still a physical. Physical can
and,
mean,
and
you know.
There's nothing wrong with saying that they're different. Why, you know, see, I'm not a list guy. I know, you know, Lance, you and I both know when it gets to the draft, we all have to make a list because that's all anybody wants to know. Who are your top five this? Your top, you know, we get that. But, you know, to me, I don't feel the need to say, well, who's better? Who would you rather have, Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes? I don't feel the need to have that conversation.
No. No, not at all.
No.
We don't have it with pitchers.
No.
Why would we have it with quarterbacks?
Right.
Yeah.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Why are the Packers, Greg? What are they doing different this last 5 weeks?
They are, John, a fascinating team to watch because it's funny you asked me that, and I didn't know you would ask me that. I want people to understand that we don't plan what you're going to ask me. We just talk, you know. And I don't have a great answer for that because if you look at their offense, you still see a couple of great throws by Aaron Rodgers every week, but it's not as if they're winning the way they used to win, where he goes 28 for 35 for 380 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's not really happening. Their running game has been good, but not great every week. It's not like they hang their hat on the run every week. Now, their defense has played much better, and they've done some different things. I mean, over the last 5-6 weeks, really, they've made a change, which you would think is not a great change, but it's worked. Darnell Savage has become their slot corner due to injury. So when they lost Stokes about 5-6 weeks ago, they moved Savage to be their nickel corner. They're playing Rudy Ford at safety. And in fact, Ford starts at safety when they're in their base defense most of the time, not Savage. So Savage is their nickel corner. they don't play a high percentage of man, so it's not as if he's consistently matching up to quality slot receivers. And obviously they lost Gary, so you would think that, hey, they don't rush the quarterback really well. But I think that their two stacked backers don't get enough credit. I think Campbell and the rookie from Georgia, Quay Walker, they're both 6'4". You put on the tape, and boy, they are long and athletic. And I think that's a big factor in their defense.
Yeah, I want to point out, too, Devondre Campbell. I remember watching him, and he didn't have great instincts when he came out of Minnesota. Looked like a freak daddy, but he just didn't have great instincts. And then eventually, like, something clicked, and he just became a much, much like, the traits took over. Same thing with Tremaine Edmonds. You know, his instincts are not always great. But guys who are big, long, and fast, that just ends up winning. And so we have a guy here in Christian Harris from Alabama who's had some ups and downs and, you know, didn't play the whole season. But I think instincts is at times and run fits are not there for him. But if you've got the physical traits, though, at linebacker, that's something that can come around, I think.
And as you know, Lance, he didn't even play linebacker until he got to Alabama. So it says something about him that he was a first-year starter for Nick Saban, having never played linebacker coming out of Louisiana. In fact, I believe he came out of Baton Rouge, and he wasn't even recruited by LSU. But he did not play linebacker in high school. So, you know, he must have something that is eventually going to work.
I guess. That's Greg Cosell, brought to you by Nick's Place. It is the place to watch your playoffs, no matter what it is. If you're looking for a great way to watch your sporting event, I don't care what it is, and especially if it's soccer. He's got that on Saturday and Sunday morning. So if you're looking for a great place to get your soccer on, Nick's Place is the place for you. Where do you get your law on?
Well, John Daspit. You can go to the Daspit Law Firm, DASPITlaw.com. John Daspit has been instrumental in people being able to take care of hospital bills, their damaged vehicles, their physical therapy bills, and loss of income because they've had to step away from a job because they've been injured. This is a real deal that happens. This is not, and John's like, I don't want to be one of those guys on TV that's throwing flamethrowers around and hitting you with. You know, a shovel in the face because they're such badasses. He said, I just want to be out there trying to help people who have been injured through no fault of their own, just minding their business. Could be people just like you and I who someone else's negligence has caused you the pain and suffering and the hassle and many times a financial burden. Well, he wants to fight so that you get the settlement that you deserve, that you have coming to you based on all the issues that I just brought up. 10 different cities. Offices in 10 cities around Texas, 70 lawyers. He is going to fight for you to get the justice you deserve. And I promise you, he is one of the best you are going to find in the state of Texas. 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. Greg Cosell joining us here, brought to you by Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. It's where you get your sports on. I don't care what it is. You got a game, great place to watch it, great food. It is the place to go to watch your sporting events. Greg, what you've seen of Jared Goff this year? Are the Lions set, or are they still in limbo?
You know, Jared Goff has played extremely well. And I think that, you know, we know that there are certain things he does really well. And one thing that he does really well, and you can go back to his time with the Rams, they are really good, and he's really good with what I can call conventional play action, where he's under the center. They have been outstanding this year with under center play action. It's a rhythm thing. You know, a lot of quarterbacks like to be under center because the rhythm of the drop is different and often better than it is when you're in the gun. Because you don't, you know, a lot of times in the gun, because you're back there already, you don't really get a rhythm to your drop. And he's really, really good at that. And, you know, the thing is, too, is when you're under center, it takes longer for the mesh point to occur. So a couple of things happen there, depending on the nature of the run. Let's say it's an outside zone. look, the D-line will react laterally first before they rush vertically, and because the mesh point takes longer, the second-level defenders kind of have to wait to see, is it run or is it pass? So it's not a matter of do they rush up to the line of scrimmage, it's they just have to wait, because it takes longer to get to the mesh point. So you get a little indecision, and it also allows receivers routes to, you know, they can run down the field further because it just takes longer. And Goff has, they've been really good with the play-action pass game. And, you know, I don't think there was any question, Lance, you recall, when he came out of college, there was no question about him throwing the ball. He's a nice thrower of the football. Ball comes out. You know, when he's comfortable and he's secure, he looks really good throwing the football.
Yeah. I thought he was solid. I had him, you know, I had him graded in like the middle of that draft along with Carson Wentz. I thought he was headed on his way, went to a Super Bowl, played poorly in Super Bowl, and then it just kind of fell apart on him, and it's been an interesting reclamation project this year. But it is interesting to see how, you know, you look at some of the teams where the Broncos thought they had it fixed. They're in dire straits, it appears now. Then you have the Lions that we would have sworn that this is, you know, dead man walking here with Goff. They're going to be looking at quarterback. Now you're not so sure. The Raiders thought we'll be fine with Derek Carr. They're completely in a different spot now. You know, 2 years ago, you think you've got everything taken care of, and Mike Mayock's there, and you've got all these different picks that you've made. Now all those picks are gone. It's amazing how quickly the perception of Mac Jones has changed in one year.
I know.
Yep.
You know, the perception of Mac Jones. Is it fair that Mac – I've seen a lot of different NFL people say Mac Jones is not as bad as people think. He is not getting any help. Is that
– And that you know, again, that we're not there. That's hard to know.
Right.
The one thing that has stood out on film, which, you know – I'm surprised by it, let's put it that way, is he has missed basic reads, you know, the kind of stuff that's day one, day two installs. And, you know, again, I can't speak to why, but he's also made some really good throws and some really good reads. You know, it's just been very up and down. Now, I think most people would say that, you know, having a defensive coach be basically your offensive coordinator and play caller is not the ideal way to go with a second-year quarterback, because, you know, he's still a second-year quarterback. It doesn't matter how smart he is, and I'm sure he's very smart, and I'm sure he's committed, but he's still a second-year NFL quarterback. And I've always been a believer, you know, just as an abstract statement, that with a young quarterback, you really need to have a big-time offensive coach and quarterback coach to work with these guys, because the NFL is not college football. And I don't care what conference you're talking about, you know, like I love when people say, well, if Georgia was in the NFL, they'd beat Houston 45-0. No, they wouldn't even be able to compete with the Houston Texans. But the point is you need, he's a second year quarterback. He needs high quality offensive coaches with resumes.
Greg Cosell here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk about the Jags. Our producer is a big Jag fan. Trevor Lawrence has turned a major. Well, we talk about the regression of Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the progression of Trevor Lawrence. He looks like he's getting it now, Greg.
Yeah, and see, this is where coaching comes in, because you put the tape on of Lawrence, and it was a process this year, because he had ups and downs, and over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks, he's played extremely well on a consistent basis. You see him do everything quicker. You know, keep in mind, you watch Mac Jones at Clemson, he threw a ton of tunnel screens. You almost have to disregard those when you evaluate a quarterback. They don't really mean anything in terms of an evaluation. So he had to just get quicker in his drop, in his set. He had to become more compact in his delivery. He was a big strider. It's tough to be a big strider in the NFL, because when you do have bodies around you and the pocket gets squeezed and you're a strider, you end up rushing your mechanics, and he was a little scattershot. You notice that rarely at Clemson, but it was there on tape. So they've tightened everything up that he does, and also now as time has gone on, he's more comfortable with the pass game concepts, so he's more decisive with his reads and his throws, and the ball comes out quicker. So everything about him is quicker now, and it needed to get there. And I think that's coaching, and coaching is important.
Absolutely. And speaking of coaching and being important, Brock Purdy.
Yeah,
watching Brock Purdy play, this is just unbelievable. Kyle Shanahan, I don't, we both, Lance and I, have talked about Kyle Shanahan for a while now. He just doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, but Shanahan's one of those weird ones because you can say that. Like, I'm a huge fan of his offensive football. But then what 49er fans will point out, they'll say, go look at his record. And he's got ups and downs.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
No question.
Yeah, but I mean, and there's probably reasons for that
injury
too.
Injury stuff.
But I don't think there's any question that from an offensive standpoint, he does a really, really good job with his use of personnel, formations, motions. He does a great job of defining things for the quarterback. You know, and guys, you know this. Whenever you talk about coaching involving a quarterback, people think you're ripping the quarterback. You know, it strikes me that it's the job of the coach to make the quarterback and help the quarterback play at a high level. So, you know, there's not 100 transcendent quarterbacks talent-wise. You know, Lance, you may know this, but there were teams that didn't even have Brock Purdy as a priority free agent. You know,
yeah.
If you watch his tape at Iowa State, you didn't come away going, man, this guy should be a top 40 pick. Man, this guy's got it. You know, and by the way, we don't know that for sure. He started four games or five games. He's in a really well-schemed offense with a lot of players who can line up in different places in the formation. The run game has started to get better. You know, he's in a really good situation. They don't really ask him to throw the deep ball. He doesn't have a big arm. His deep balls lose energy on the back end. He's not that kind of thrower. But, you know, it's really defined. He's efficient. He's got lighter feet than Garoppolo. So you're seeing the play-action pass game. He's got some better second reaction movement in Garoppolo. So there are things you see that you didn't see with Garoppolo, but the basic premise of the pass game is the same.
Mm. Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5. I know you're not a list guy and an award guy and whatnot, but give us some guys that you think have done a really, really good job coaching this. You watch their tape and these guys are well coached.
Well, I think Ben Johnson, the OC for Detroit, they're a really fun offense to watch. People are open, and the ball comes out. I'm trying to think. I have to look at the teams. I think the Eagles do a great job. I think the Eagles have done an absolutely great job understanding the strengths of Jalen Hurts and how to really use them, both in the run game and in the pass game, because defenses have to defend the run. Every time he's in the shotgun, which is probably 98% of the time, there's a run game element there. Let's see. I'm trying to look at the
teams. How about D'Amico?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. No knock on D'Amico Ryans at all. I mean, but they're not to me, and there's always things that we cannot be aware of, you know, subtle details that we don't know. But I don't view them as a highly schemed defense. I think they're more of an execution defense. You know, they're not a high-percentage blitz defense. They're not a high-percentage man coverage defense. They rush four. I think their front six in their nickel, when everybody's healthy, is as good as any in the league. I would argue that Warner and Greenlaw is the best nickel linebacking duo in the league right now. And I think Warner is the best linebacker in the league overall. So, you know, obviously he's doing a great job because that's coaching too. You don't have to do 100 things just to be a good coach. But they're not a highly schemed defense in the way, let's say, you think of a Wink Martindale, you know, and all the stuff he does. But like I said, that's understanding your talent and understanding what they do and how they do it, and that's coaching as well.
Yeah, it's also funny that we saw with Mike Vrabel, a guy who did not have a very good defense when he was here at Houston, but there's no question he's a really good NFL coach. I think it's, you know, it is interesting when the names start coming up from OCs and DCs who are going to be the next head coaching candidates. There is definitely a difference between being a great play caller or organizer of a defense and being someone who will be a really good head coach. Sometimes they can be one and the same, but oftentimes they might be completely different.
I would agree with that. You know, just because, look, I don't know Ben Johnson at all. I watched their tape. I loved watching their offense. Does that mean he's automatically a great head coach? And he may be. We're just using him as an example. I don't want people to think I'm knocking Ben Johnson. I never met him. But I don't think that automatically goes together.
Yeah. No. We saw that with Mike Vrabel. Absolutely. Because he's a good... Yeah, well, he's a good CEO. He was not a great coordinator here, that's for sure. That is Greg Cosell with us every week and brought to you by Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge and Westheimer. Is this our last week or are you coming back next week?
Well, I guess that's up to the powers that be. I mean, I'll talk to you guys as long as you want to have me. I love talking to you guys.
That's great. Well, we'll figure that out, Greg. Either way, it's been a wonderful year. We really appreciate all your insight. Great stuff, as always.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, that's Greg Cosell with us here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk a little patio.
Texas Custom Patios. When you want to have a space at your home that is going to be unlike anything that you imagine, Texas Custom Patios is the first website you should go check out. You can go see what they did for me, tcplance.com. That was done 6 years ago in 2016. I reached out to them, had them build something for me, loved it so much that I told them I wanted to get them on the radio so I could tell you guys about it. And truly, it's been amazing to have a space like that where the kids can hang out. They can be there with their friends. I can watch my Everton team stave off relegation. I go watch World Series games out there, Saturday football, Sunday football, UFC events. Sometimes just turn on music, hang out there and have a drink. It's really cool. But, you know, you might want to get a kitchen put in there. You might want to have your own island that you can entertain and hang around, or maybe put a couple TVs and you and the fellas have a spot to go watch your games and hang out, or maybe the wife or the husband is going to dress it up just the way you want it, perfectly, so it's going to be great for entertaining friends, families, neighbors, whatever the case may be. Make sure that Texas Custom Patios is a company that you're looking at, because their outdoor living spaces, their swimming pools, their outdoor kitchens are second to none. TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin, it's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage, River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.